I want you all to know that I am aware that it is the Lenten season that begins this Wednesday and not the Advent and Christmas season. But I want to share with you a cherished Christmas tradition of mine. It's Christmas Eve. We've gone through all the Christmas Eve services about 12:30, quarter of one Christmas morning, making sure the church is secure. I head home. Main Street is pretty quiet and peaceful at about that time on Christmas morning. I get home and need to wind down a little bit. And for years, long time, I've had the tradition of turning on the television set to try to find the annual St. Olaf Choir Christmas concert on TV. It's by the world-renowned St. Olaf College Choir from Northfield, Minnesota. The piece that the chancel choir men will sing at the offertory is the signature piece, as you may know, of the St. Olaf Choir, having been sung at that college for over 100 years. Beautiful Savior is stunningly beautiful, as you will soon hear. And its message is really quite simple. We come to Jesus, we come to God in prayerful adoration, each week to give honor to our God, our Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, to give thanks to a God who is our strength, our refuge, and our salvation through all the seasons of the year and all the seasons of our lives.
Like Proverbs, Job, and many of the Psalms, the book of Ecclesiastes, which our first reading is from this morning, belongs among the Bible's wisdom literature. This genre explores what it is like to live a good life in the world as it is. So some might be familiar with this particular passage from Ecclesiastes. It's actually often used at funerals because it points out some basic truths about life. Life is filled with change and contrast, birth and death, joy and sadness, weeping and laughing. These opposites are what make life so meaningful, I believe. We appreciate life more because of death. We long for joy because we know sadness. We rejoice in times of laughter because weeping is also part of our lives. Ecclesiastes seeks to address the truth of life. And one of those truths is that time passes and things change. And at some point, yes, we will die. Such knowledge, despite how hard it is, should lead not to despair, hopefully, but to humility and gratefulness for the gifts of God in the here and now. But sometimes we can't hold together the contrasts of life, and life just gets the best of us. It is then that we can turn to Jesus and Jesus's comforting words. You see, before Jesus died, he tried to reassure his disciples by reminding them that they are not alone. They have each other, the Holy Spirit, and God. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." Hear now these words of Holy Scripture.
For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. Second reading is from John. Jesus told his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. I have said these things to you while I am still here with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will remain with you, will remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." May God bless our understanding of these readings.
Thanks be to God.
Where did the time go? Where did it go? You know, we've all said that phrase, right? Where did the time go? Or we've heard other people say it. I feel like it comes up a lot around parenting. And I feel like I've been feeling that phrase a lot. You see, my boys just turned 6 a couple of weeks ago. And in some ways, it feels like they've always been part of our lives. And in some ways, like I just gave birth yesterday. Time is such a weird thing, isn't it? Where did the time go? I felt that poignancy when I went down to talk to our preschoolers last week about communion in preparation for today. I don't know how good of a job I did because not many of them were here today. But I did indeed try to talk to them about the meaning of communion in a 3 or 4 year old mind. Well, when I walked in, there were 7 or 8 of them playing very eagerly, you know, some of them banging trucks together, some of them doing puzzles, and I was struck by their teacher, Chase Conway, 22-year-old UConn grad. I met Chase when he was 7. Where has the time gone? Chase went through church school here and sang in every children's choir that we had and was active in our youth group. And here is this strapping young man teaching our 3 and 4 year olds. Where has the time gone? And then so I gathered the kids around this little table and we had the bread and the juice out, and with eager big eyes, I tried to explain to them that Jesus gathered his disciples around this table and said to them that he wasn't going to be there any longer. But don't worry, because Jesus lives in our hearts. One of the little kids says, "Lives in our hearts?" Oh boy, I'm not doing so good with this communion education. I said, "Okay, so let's, when we eat the bread and we drink the juice, we think about Jesus and how Jesus lived. How did Jesus live? But with kindness and love." I got a few head nods for kindness and love. Then we talked a little bit about grace, because I said one of the amazing things Jesus did in this last meal with his friends around this table was he gave thanks to God for this simple bread and juice. So we talked a little bit about grace, and I encouraged them to maybe say grace at home before they eat. And then eagerly and quietly, they ate the bread and drank of the cup. These precious little 3 and 4 year olds, with Chase as their teacher. The time will go quickly. We all know that. Although some days, at least in my life with raising special needs twins, it seems like the day is never going to end. And then there are times when, oh my goodness, how did we make it this far? But see, those words that I tried to talk to the preschoolers about, of we're called to live like Jesus with kindness and love, that's what this church tries to do. Are we perfect? No. But we try to live out our faith. And together, we help one another, we pray for one another, we bring meals to one another. And then we also go out and we serve in the world. knowing that the world is a broken place. So we sing together and pray together and serve together. What a blessing that is. So I'm a planner, but my mom not so much. So my mom called me on Friday morning and said, "What are you doing tonight?" And I said, "Working on a sermon and being with the boys." She said, "I just read in the Hartford Courant about a play called The A-Train at this little hole-in-the-wall theater in Hartford. You want to go?" You don't say no to your mom, so we went. It's a one-woman show written by the woman who performed it. Her name is Annie. And there's really no way for me to give a summary of what this 90 minutes was like. You see, she has boy twins, and one of them is on the autism spectrum. Many of you know that my twins are on the autism spectrum. So I went in knowing that this would probably hit close to home. Well, it's funny. It's actually hysterical, laugh out loud funny. It's poignant. There's a lot of F-bombs, a lot of profanity. She plays different parts because she wanted to write a story about an autistic person, and then she realized she couldn't write that story because she's not autistic herself. So she wrote it from the point of view of a parent raising a child on the spectrum. She talks about her twins, and as early as just over a year old, she noticed that there were significant differences. Davy was in Paris. You couldn't get his attention. You called his name and nothing happened. But Sam, he was there. And she talks about this journey and this shock of trying to come to realization that this is going to be her life. Wasn't how she planned it. She described in the Hartford Courant article about it that it is a shockingly vulnerable show, and it is. Even for those who don't have the autism thing in their life. The heart of the play is, how do you find your zen or your peace? Life will not go like we planned it. So how do we find our peace? Maybe it's in nature, maybe it's in our faith, maybe in the people around us. That's where Jesus' words come in. He says to his disciples, "I'm not going to be here any longer, but peace I give you. Do not be afraid. Do not be troubled." Alicia was a young woman. She thought of a sure faith, partly because of her amazing grandmother, Fern. She remembers going to her grandmother's house growing up, and it always smelled like cinnamon, because she burned cinnamon candles. And she remembers reading as a child and seeing the candles glowing in the night. Fern had a deep and abiding faith. She remembers Alicia when she was 14 and she got to make her first candle because Fern got her a candle making kit for Christmas. So together they poured this candle and then she gifted it back to her grandmother. Alicia was a young woman who wanted to do everything perfectly, wanted to get good grades, wanted to get the right job, marry the right man, have perfect children, have a sure faith through it all, perfect faith. She remembers vividly one day when she was driving with her husband over this beautiful scenery and saying, "Isn't life great?" They had the jobs they wanted. They had a beautiful house with views of a lake, and they had just found out they were pregnant after trying for a really long time. Fern was so excited to be a great grandma for the first time, and it was an exciting time. And Alicia remembers giving birth, and then you know how the baby is placed on your arms, and she remembers looking at her baby, and its face, Navy's face, was not quite right. Cleft palate and lip. So her lips didn't look quite right. So immediately that joy of having a new baby because she was whisked away to the NICU, her bubble was burst. And Alicia immediately said, "It's my fault." Because a lot of times when you're pregnant, things like this will be caught on the ultrasound. But it wasn't. Fern came in to visit in the hospital the next day and knew Alicia was questioning her faith, gives her a big hug and says, "Don't worry, honey. God's right here with you." Fern had had a hard life. For 20 years, she had nursed her sick husband. Twice, she had gotten breast cancer and survived. So Fern's words of wisdom and comfort meant a lot to Alicia. "Don't worry, God is right here with you." They went through 4 months of worrying in anticipation of this surgery, trying to coax their baby to eat and to sleep, doctor's appointments after doctor's appointments. Alicia and John both worked for the same documentary film series, and it was canceled, so they lost their jobs in the midst of this. The surgery for Navy was scheduled the day after Christmas, so Alicia explains how this Advent season, this season of darkness, waiting for the light of Jesus to be born, was a season of darkness for them, except for Fern, who kept reminding them that God is with you. Alicia and John were a little bit worried about giving Navy up to the doctors and to the nurses. "She's so tiny, she's so fragile." And yet they did at 4 months old. She came back 4 hours later with pouty lips, just like any other baby. And they gave thanks and were so full of gratitude. And then life went along like it does. And John got another job and they had another baby and life was good. Until the day she got the call from Fern, "The cancer's back, honey. And this time I'm not gonna do anything. I'm ready to go home and be with God." Oh, Alicia did not agree with that, and she tried to convince Fern that she could get treatment, that she was strong. "It's time to go home and be with God." So Alicia explains how every Monday they would go to Fern's house, you know, that house that smelled like cinnamon, and they would have a picnic lunch on the floor with her two small children, and they'd eat fried chicken and potato salad, Fern's favorite, and they would tell stories and reminisce. And then Alicia describes how 1 week she went on that Monday at lunchtime, and Fern wasn't really making much sense. And the cancer had gone to her brain, and she died 2 weeks later. Alicia explains how the light of her life felt like it was extinguished. And then a month to the date, when she kissed Fern goodbye at her funeral, kissed her grandma goodbye, she poured another candle. She made another candle. Because Fern would want her to do that and to remember that the light of love of God never is extinguished. And from that, Alicia started thinking, I wonder if I could make this into a business to spread the joy and love and light of God. So she looked into getting spaces, she got a bright studio, and she started hiring people that had to work at weird hours, at midnight, at 5 a.m., so they could be with their children and their elderly parents. And Wax Buffalo was born. Alicia explains how every candle is handmade and unique, beautifully imperfect. Just like our lives, right? Beautifully imperfect. It won't go as we planned. There'll be moments that we think, "Oh, why is this day not over?" And there will be moments that we think, "Where did the time go?" And through it all, we have the promises of Jesus. "Peace I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Life will be hard. There will be joy and sadness. There will be life and death. It will be beautifully imperfect. And yet, it is our life and our life to cling. Go in love. Go in peace, knowing that you are loved just as you are. Amen.